This is Connie Moore. I'm Senior Vice President of Research at Digital Clarity Group. Today we have a real treat. We have my colleague, who is Kathy McKnight. She is a co-founder of Digital Clarity Group, and she is our Vice President of Consulting. Kathy is going to talk about technology selection today, specifically the process that you would follow to select any technology. At DCG, we focus on customer experience management. So this process that Kathy will be talking about can be used for many different technology selections, whether it's a content management system, a digital asset management system, a commerce server, or CRM system. So I'd like to ask Kathy the first question about why is requirements gathering so important? Well, why can't you just assemble a team and quickly identify your requirements and move on to the next stage? Why is that, Kathy?
Well, that certainly would be the easiest way to go about it, Connie. But going directly to the business leads and the people that actually use the technology on a day-to-day business, as well as the leaders who drive the organization's strategy, it's not only because it's not only about making sure the technology can do what it needs to do for the users and features and functionality, but it also has to serve a greater organizational purpose as well. So you need to connect with different parts of the business. Technology implementations take time, they take money and people to get them right. And reaching out beyond the IT group will help build support for the initiative, as well as awareness of what new technologies can enable and support by means of company goals and objectives. So if done properly, requirements gathering process isn't just about gathering a list of features and functionality. It can actually help ensure that the selected solution meets the primary user needs as well as the business needs, and really fits well into the overall technology landscape and the plan for the organization. Also, in talking to the teams and individuals across the businesses, both vertically and horizontally, so you want to go across the breadth of the lines of business and functional units, as well as the hierarchy. So from the newly hired individual who may be doing some business analysis all the way up to senior leadership. And doing that, the requirements gathering is more than just talking about collecting a list of features and functionality. It's a really great opportunity to connect and review associated processes, skill set, the governance model that surrounds the technology, and build an awareness of just what the technology will do for the organization. It also helps going this wide breadth, helps reduce the risk of over buying or under buying, which both can be a critical mistake for a business. It helps identify gaps in how the technology is being used today and where the teams that will be using the technology, where they'd like to go with it in the future. Buying technology for that only meets the business needs of today is sure to fail, because people will grow beyond that feature set very quickly. In the case of something like a content management system, that can take a year to 18 months to implement. By the time the technology is actually implemented and functional, they could have outgrown it already, which is a huge cost to the company from a time and a money resource perspective. And really, ultimately, engaging a broader audience's perspective on needs will help build confidence in the selection team when they start exploring the solution alternatives, not only on their part when they do the exploration, but on those people who are relying on them to find the right solution for the company.
Kathy, I think that's very wise advice. I know you and I had an opportunity recently to interview a number of companies that had implemented fairly complex content management systems that did quite a lot of things. And we found out that some of these organizations were skipping the requirements gathering in the sense that you described it. In your experience, how chronic of a problem is it for organizations to focus just on feature function or to kind of skip some of the more in-depth interviews that I think that you're saying are important?
You know, Connie, that's a great point. A lot of the companies, as you mentioned, for the research we were doing, it was a real split. Some of them had done the homework that they needed. They'd gone out and talked to the individuals across their organization. But it was those who hadn't. It was those who, you know, either the marketing team or the ops team or the admin team maybe came to IT and said, hey, we need a new CMS, in this case of the research we were doing. And the IT team just went about following maybe a very set out process, but doing it from their perspective. And ultimately it failed. And that's when we get called in sometimes is failed attempts at finding the right solution because they just don't meet the needs of the users. So I think more and more companies, as they become aware of the importance of a content management system, particularly in this day and age of customer experience management, where content plays such a critical and central role to that experience, they're paying attention more and more to going outside of their smaller realm of IT or even just IT and marketing to beyond to the business to get those requirements.
And so I think you've given us some great best practices to follow in requirements gathering. Is there anything else that we've overlooked or have we got it?
I think from a requirements gathering perspective, you really have to think about who your stakeholders are and how, you know, different ways of reaching them. So, you know, for us at DCG, we often run a group workshop, which is a great way to generate conversation and get different perspectives shared. Oftentimes, business units are working unto themselves and have a very myopic focus and perspective on how technology is used. So by bringing them into a group setting, such as a workshop, where they get to interact with other either lines of business or functional areas of the business, it really expands their thought process on how the technology can be used or will be used. But also it's important to do the one-on-ones, is to get into that deeper conversation, be able to delve into the whys they feel a requirement is a requirement and how critical it is to the success. So really changing up and making sure the collection of the data is done in an appropriate manner based on the size of the organization, as well as where the people that you need to speak to are located.
You know, it's interesting. What flashed in my mind is a group of stakeholders coming together to talk about their needs plus the enterprise perspective, and I had just this image of possible discord that might happen between groups that don't play well together. When that happens and you're in some pretty high-stakes interviews in group settings, what kinds of things do you do or do you come prepared to do? Or maybe even just how do you know that might happen so you're not taken by surprise?
Yeah, that's a great point. With, you know, for us, like I said, we do both workshops and one-on-ones. In the workshop settings, it's actually quite often where people come, I won't say with their backs up against the wall, but certainly ready to defend their position and why their requirements are maybe more important than other people's requirements and why they should be prioritized. And often through working something as simple as a SWOT analysis, where we talk through strengths, not only from a technology perspective, but also from a core business perspective. So what are the strengths within the teams that are being brought to the table? How are they being used? What are the processes that support them? Quite often we can find common ground where people are like, yes, you know what, we need to do this better. And it's a point that they can rally around. So they still may have differing perspectives on how the technology will be used. But if they can see that it's not an if or and or if or but situation where we can do both sides of their coin, and really be able to deliver on what they both need. It helps with the change management and acceptance process and bringing people together to work together for the implementation to be a success.
Yeah, I think that's really great to be able to address that, because you know that is the reality of a lot of organizations, is there's a infighting or maybe just jostling for getting one person's point of view over another person. So I think that's great to think of yourself as more than a technology expert, but really almost an organizational change facilitator.
Absolutely. Change management is critical to any kind of technology implementation to make sure that it's adoption. If it's not adopted, then you've just wasted a lot of time and money.
Oh, absolutely. So I have a couple more questions. When you do talk to the stakeholders across the business, and that could be quite a number of people, and it could be maybe more than one group meeting, but you eventually come up with this long laundry list of things that may affect multiple stakeholders or may be just important to one particular department. How do you sort through that and align that with the technology that you're trying to select? How's that process work?
So what we do is we do. So when we go in as Digital Clarity Group, go in and work with clients to help with the selection process, both from a technology perspective as well as service provider. Because again, as I mentioned earlier, I think it's not just about the technology. You shouldn't just be collecting the requirements from what does the technology need to deliver, but you need to think about how it's going to be used and the processes that support it, the skill set internally, and perhaps the skill set that you need to acquire, be that in a partner, such as a service provider, an agency, a system integrator, or potentially a new hire. But what we do once we've gathered all those requirements is we start looking for the common ground. What are we hearing across the business lines and functional areas of the business that are resonating? So, you know, perhaps globalization. Perhaps it's a company that has grown through acquisition or just really grown into a global organization and they really need to start having a more global focus on their content. They're going to need a system that manages multilingual or a decentralized group. And while there are many, in case of CMS, many CMSs that can handle globalization, some do it better than others. And if that's going to be a critical success factor, then we need to make sure that's a priority. So what we do is we look at those four, five, you know, sometimes even up to eight elements and requirements that without them, the system just won't be successful. And that could be something as straightforward as a really easy to use interface, but because they've got such a decentralized model for content management, and they're going to have people going into the system maybe once a month, you can't afford to be retraining these people all the time. So it's absolutely critical that the system that they choose is, you know, you can go in, make your changes, put in new content and get out without a retraining process. For others, it's a more complex thing, such as an integration point with a CRM or a marketing automation platform or an e-commerce platform. Whatever it is, we try and identify those fewer things, like I said, five to eight, that we can then use as the baseline for looking at the systems. And that really helps narrow the breadth of, in the case of content management systems, where there's over 2,000 content management systems out there, it really helps narrow down the list of possibilities. Because if you were to try and look at something that meets all 157 requirements that you gathered, you'd never get there. There'd never be a system to meet them all.
Yeah, you just get overwhelmed and swamped and never make any progress. So my last question is about a topic that seems to be very important to more and more of our clients, and it's technology roadmaps. Our clients are very busy coming up with technology roadmaps that look, you know, 2-3 years out and are wanting to align those with your business objectives and so forth, which is a good thing. How would a project where you're gathering requirements and looking at a specific need fit into the technology road mapping that's going on today?
Well, one of the things, and reiterate again, is when you do requirements, it's really important that you don't focus just on features and functionality of the technology at hand that's being sought. So, you know, in the case of a content management system, when you start asking questions about what they need and what they want to do with the technology, often you're going to come up with a subset of requirements that a content management system, in this case, won't meet. Perhaps it's something that's more suitable for a marketing automation platform to deliver or should be tied into a CRM or even an e-commerce solution. So it's a great way of collecting a subset of requirements that can then help shape that future of the technology landscape for the organization. You know, in the case of many companies where e-commerce is becoming more and more important, this is perhaps a a position that has them jump off from using a, you know, a small out of the box uncustomized e-commerce solution to really finding something with a little bit more firepower to support their objectives, their commerce objectives.
Well, this has been so illuminating and so helpful. This discussion, I think, is a vital one for any organization looking at a technology acquisition. And as you say, it's much, much more than that. It's big organizational change that affects business strategy and how you support customers. So all of these things fit into a much more important, bigger picture. I want to thank you for joining us, and I wanted to say you have a secret advantage when you're coming in and advising companies. Do you know what it is?
No.
It's that charming accent that you have as a Canadian, and I think it's going to be charming to our podcast listeners. So if our listeners haven't figured it out yet, Kathy is based in Toronto. She's my colleague, and she's also my neighbor to the north, who endured a much tougher winter than I endured. So, Kathy, thank you so much, and we look forward to future discussions. You're listening to a podcast by Digital Clarity Group, and we hope you'll join us in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Connie.
You have been listening to podcasts by Digital Clarity Group. Digital Clarity Group provides research, consulting, events, and advisory services to help business leaders navigate the digital transformation. For other podcasts or more information, please visit our website at www.digitalclaritygroup.com.